Welcome to the IC Church podcast. We pray this message helps you to love, build, and reach your world.
Well, it's so good to be with you and so good to have the Townsville family with us. If we haven't met yet, my name is Andrew and I'm part of the team here, and it's always a privilege to serve the vision of IC Church and Pastors Paul and Joe. 2024, don't lower your expectation of what God can do. In Luke 24:49, Jesus says, "For there is a promise coming from my Father, and you will be endued with this promise, endued with the Holy Spirit." And that word means literally to sink into a garment. Now, the only way you ever sink into a garment is if someone's behind you putting it on you. It means it's not your own wardrobe. It's not your own wardrobe. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to prophesy to the altar call now. Spoiler alert. Is that there are some of us in the room that need to let go of 1996's wardrobe. Hey, come on now. Where are my cross colors at? Where's my generation? Some of us have been carrying 2004 in our wardrobe and it doesn't fit anymore. But God wants to tell you in 2024, there is a sinking into a garment that is just for you. Just for you. I've worked in menswear for a long time. And when I worked in menswear, I was at university as well. And I love buying people clothes, especially my brother. I love buying him clothes because he never bought any himself. So I used to buy him clothes. It's okay. Mum and Dad, you are here. And I've told this story multiple times. So Mum, please don't get angry with me. David is also cool with the story because I run it by him. And it's true. So one time, my brother was away on holiday with my parents. And his fiancée at the time, Jocelyn, who they're now married and go to the Logan campus, she worked in Meyer in the menswear department. And I said, and I have the keys to my parents' house. And my brother lived there with his old wardrobe, filled with clothes. And here, I want to hear this. I want you to understand something. Every Christmas, every birthday, I would get it. And I worked in menswear that sold brand names, like the good stuff. I would go to his wardrobe and it would still be in packets in his wardrobe. I'm a gifts person. I felt very, very rejected. So I'm walking, looking, and there's all these old clothes that were hand-me-downs from me, right? 15 years old kind of clothes. But he loved them. He just doesn't get rid of anything. He likes stuff. I love moving house because when we move house, we get a big black garbage bag and we just walk through the house and we just chuck stuff in it. Nothing like a good declutter. And I want to tell you today that God doesn't want you to live with clutter when in the spirit, when he wants to clothe you with something new. And that clothing might be you're going to believe God for more miracles this year. But you can't believe God for more if your wardrobe's already full with old stuff that you keep carrying around everywhere. And so, Jocelyn and I think Allison was there as witness, but Jocelyn and I went into his wardrobe while he was away and we cleared out everything because she was going to marry him. So she wanted him to be dressed nicely. So we ended up throwing out like half of his wardrobe into black plastic bags. Don't worry. We weren't going to take him, you know, to Lifeline or anything because we just didn't want to. And so we put him in black plastic bags. We cleared out his wardrobe. And here's the miracle of it all. I saw how much room he had for new things. And every now and then, if you ever watch a Netflix special where I think it's Marie Kondo or something like that, it's all about, you know, folding up your clothes different. And, you know, you talk to your clothes at this point and you go, thank you for the joy you've brought me. And then, you know, you get rid of it and whatever else. It's not a recommendation. I'm just saying that's what she does. And, but here's the thing is when I challenged my brother, I said, Dave, why don't you just open your new clothes and wear them? He goes, I feel bad because the old ones are still there. It's like they've got personalities or something. But I know we laugh because it is a funny story. He didn't get that angry with me. I thought he would. He didn't. But here's the thing. You know, when we cleared it out, he didn't want to go back to that black plastic bag anymore because he realized the room he had for the new. And I want to encourage you, 2024 is not the year to try to get 1997 clothes into it. Because when we're endured, we sink in to a new garment given to us by God. And so maybe 2004 was a hard year for you. Don't carry the same garment that doesn't fit you anymore. I'll tell you why. Because it's inferior now to your design. I'll say that again. If you keep garments that don't fit you anymore, that aren't created for you anymore, that God never intended for you, it means they were inferior to your divine design. And today we're gonna do some wardrobe clean outs. Some of you are gonna be excited because you go, I'm going shopping. Carindale's just up the road. But it's time to get ready for the new, for 2024 to be the year of more miracles, breakthrough, territories to be taken, family reconciliation. But you got to make room for it. So we're going to do some wardrobe cleanouts today, if that's okay. Even in Townsville, let's do some wardrobe cleanouts. I might have done that to my brother, but I'm spiritually doing that to you today. Let's go into your wardrobe. God's got some new things for you in 2024, but you got to make room by getting rid of 1996. The hurt that you felt back then, you get rid of it. It's not doing you any service. It's not. It just sits there. And every time you see that garment, you go, oh, remember when? Remember when I put that on, I felt heavy? Remember that anxiety? Remember that disappointment? Remember when I used to wear that everywhere I went? Not anymore. This altar today, we're going to do a wardrobe cleanout because there is a clothing in Christ that supersedes. Paul writes that in Galatians 6, that you are, if you've been baptized into Christ, you are now clothed with Christ. And his garment is far better than any of our old wardrobe that we try to justify our own soul issues with. I'm allowed to be hurt because, well, get rid of that piece of clothing. What's that garment sitting in your wardrobe for? Like, let's be bold about it. Is that all right? Because it takes boldness to throw out stuff. You know, it's like the apple boxes that still sit in my wardrobe. I don't know why I keep apple boxes. It's like one day I'm going to use it again. Never do. I'm going to give you permission. Church, be free. Townsville, be free. Throw out your old apple boxes. But I want to do a deep dive this morning. You don't mind the word this morning. We jump into the story of Joseph. If I ever did a biopic, I love narratives because that's how I read things. I read things in storylines and characters and I see things visually. But when you look at the story of Joseph, if I did a biopic, which I'm going to do right now in the time that we have together, is that you'll notice, and we know his story, you know, he gets thrown in the pit by his brothers and then he gets sold to Potiphar. Then he ends up in Pharaoh's and we know all that. But there's one consistent thread, pardon the pun, of every change of season for him. It's his clothing. It's his garments. So he was flawed, he was framed, and then he was favored. And so let's find ourselves in the story of Joseph. Genesis 37. Thank you so much, team. This is Joseph and his family. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Let's keep reading. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers. He goes, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. And they hated him even more. Let's keep reading. So he tells them about this dream and it's all about him standing over his brothers. That's a great way to have family time. So then his brother said, shall you indeed reign over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. I'm sure Joseph felt that hate too. Let's keep reading. So then he dreamed still another dream. Now, let's put it this way. God, who gave him his dream? Joseph didn't make up the dream. God gave him the dream. Now, if I was God, and you're grateful I'm not, but if I was God and I gave somebody a dream that made people hate them, I'd be like, I probably shouldn't give him another one. I shouldn't give him another one. God didn't care. God's like, I'm going to give you more dreams. So then he gives Joseph another dream. And then Joseph decides to tell his brothers again. So then they hated him even more. There's a lot of hate. But then it says this. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Remember, he was wearing this tunic of many colors that symbolized how much favor he had. And he'd just walk around telling him, hey, guess what? I'm favored. God gave me a dream and Dad loves me. But he wears this tunic around, this garment. So they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. In essence, he's left there to die. Then, this is how much they hate him, and they sat down to eat a meal. Because attempted murder makes you famished. Like, it's a lot of work. Like, how callous. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. They hated him so much that they literally went, we're going to kill him, but man, let's go eat. Let's just go eat. So let's keep reading. Then Midianite traders passed by and the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit. And then they sold him. So he wasn't going to die. So they just sold him for $120, $130. And then they took Joseph to Egypt. Let's keep going. And so they took his tunic. So they didn't let him keep the tunic. And this is what I'm talking about. There are garments and seasons. So they took his tunic. They dipped it in blood. And then they take it to their father who gave it to him. Watch what their response is. We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? Like, we never noticed. Is this his or not? Like, we never realized that you loved him more and you gave him this special tunic. So this was calculated. And it was callous because of how much they hated him. All because of a robe. The tunic started it. Now, here's what I know. Is that when God gives you a dream and you're favored by that dream, he doesn't stop giving it to you even if people don't like you for it. So get over it. In 2024, there are going to be people that don't like you because you're favored. But here's the key between, let's say, someone favored like Joseph, now this Old Testament Joseph, and New Testament Mary, the mother of Jesus, who the angel says, you are blessed and highly favored. The difference was Joseph was immature because he was favored with a big mouth. Now, if I can sum up the book of Proverbs for you real quick, Andrew Stone Twitter style, or now X style, it is this. Hang around the right people and keep your mouth shut. That's Proverbs right there. Mary gets blessed and highly favored and she hides it in her heart. So when you're favored, you actually don't have to tell everyone about it. You can actually say, I'm favored, and the fruit of my life will show how much favor there is. So this isn't about ego. This is about you being favored and stepping to everything that God has for you. Why? Because he is clothing you with something new for 2024. More miracles, more breakthrough, more family reconciliation, more being able to sit in a room and not feel intimidated through your wardrobe and things that happen, lived experience in 2020. Whatever that might be, there is a new garment for you today. Let's keep reading. See, what was the gown though? What made them so angry? Because it's just not like, hey, Dad took, you know, Joseph shopping and got him something different. What did it symbolize? Well, the type of gown that it was extending to the extremities, hands or feet, since it's plural and not dual, and thus a long gown with sleeves. But what did that mean to the brothers? Let's keep reading. The ketonet pasim, which is the kind of the tunic it was the kind of garment that children of kings wore. The garment probably was associated with people who were royalty, with officials who had high rank in the palace, or with people who had an exalted position in society. Let's keep reading. The fact that Jacob gave Joseph a ketonet pasim means that Jacob treated Joseph as a royal person, a person who he considered to be above all his other sons. It was designed for the firstborn. So now we know when Joseph goes and parades himself to all his brothers who are working in the field, what's he saying? I don't have to work for what I got. I don't have to work for it. Dad gave it to me because he like loves me and favors me. Good luck, guys. So they hated him even more. Why? Because all the benefits that Joseph was gonna experience, he did with no works. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. To when Jesus says, I'm gonna endue you with a garment that you'll sink into. Not of your own effort, but a grace that comes upon you. Covers your hands and your feet. In essence, to say, you will, and I'm not talking about laziness, by the way, because that's not good. In the Bible, it even says, lazy people, you don't get anything. It's not good for your family, it's not good for you. But you don't work to get something, you outwork what God's already given you. Because we're sons and daughters, so we have an inheritance that we're responsible for. But what Joseph was wearing was something that represented to his brothers, covers the extremities, meaning everything that the father gives him, he does no work for. He just receives. Just receives. Let's keep reading. But the technicolor dream coat was usually given to the firstborn heir, son in authority. It had sleeves, which meant he didn't have to work in the field like the others. Okay, let me just jump there for a minute to Luke 15. So when the younger brother comes home, what's the first thing the father puts on him? He puts on a robe. When he gets back to father's house, they're throwing a big party. And where is the elder brother? He's found in the field. And it says that the older brother was seething with wrath. Because now the younger brother's not working like the elder brother did in the field to earn dad's favor. He got given it out on the road on his way home. Why? Because DNA, family lineage, and we're part of God's family through the finished work of Jesus. Family lineage beats effort. It beats trying to outwork everything or work out everything that, oh God, does God like me today? Does he not like me? Because then we get angry in the field because some people are favored. It's because they've allowed themselves to sink into this new garment. Are you ready to sink into this new garment for 2024? Nations are going to get, oh, do you know why our church gets so excited about that bridge of that song? The earth is shaking, the nations prophesy to the nations, the dry. Do you know why? Because in our vision statement, it says reach cities. You can't reach cities with a wardrobe for 20 years ago that doesn't fit you anymore. Come on. What nations are we believing for? It's time to let that garment get put on us by our father. Let's keep going. So then we find Genesis 39. We find he gets sold and ends up in Potiphar's house. Now, this is where we get fooled sometimes. Our soul gets fooled because he's favored, but he's still a slave. I wonder, because when they sold him, he would have had to stand on this like wooden block, like practically naked in front of everybody, and they would have bid for this kid. I wonder at which point he went, I should have just kept my mouth shut. I should have just kept my mouth shut. Now he's sold as a slave, and he ends up in a house of Potiphar, someone who was worked for Egypt. He would not have had his nice tunic or robe anymore. He would have had what they call sleeveless garments, the garments of a slave. But watch what happens in Potiphar's house. Let's keep reading. When Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment. His garments keep getting him in trouble. She says, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Let's keep reading. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them saying, see, he's brought us into this Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me and I cried out with a loud voice. What was his garment though? It was sleeveless so he could labor and work in the house and a field representing slavery in his powerless state. It was a constant reminder of what immaturity had cost him. Have you ever been in a situation and you go, I was just stupid. This is me. This is immaturity. I wonder how many times he went to bed in Potiphar's house going, I know I'm favored, I'm running the house, but my dad's house was nicer. I had identity in my dad's house. See, he lacked maturity in his father's house. But in this house, he had maturity because he fled from Mrs. Potiphar. He had favor, but he lacked identity. And it was used against him because he had limited influence and no recognized identity. And so here we have the second garment that he has to let go of. And can I just come to a real place with you is in our lives, as soon as we get favored somewhere, sometimes we settle. Let me talk to you real. Townsville, if you're listening to me, this could be for everybody. There are times where because we get a little bit of favor, we choose and say it's okay to our soul to be a slave. Just a little bit of favor, but you're only favored until you say no. You're only favored until there's a disagreement. And it gives us this false sense of security. And we're kingdom leaders. We're called to be transformational here on earth, filled with the Holy Spirit, doing something radical for the kingdom. And here we are. We got a little bit of favor and we go, okay, thanks. We're good. We don't push back on anything that, again, is inferior to our design. So what garment do we want to wear in 2024? Don't settle for a garment that isn't made for you just because you get a little bit of favor with it. And I want to break that off people today. Let's not settle. If you settled, let's pray for it this morning. Don't settle in 2024. Expect God's best with a new garment. Let's keep reading. Joseph and Pharaoh, 2 years later. Let's keep reading. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is having a dream, and no one can interpret it. No one. He's got the best in the world, and no one can interpret it. So then they call Joseph. But imagine if Joseph had said, I don't do the dream thing anymore. It got me in trouble once. Have you ever had a gift on your life that maybe you used or it failed somewhere and you went, I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. I used to be. Hey, let's remove that from our vocabulary now. Oh, I used to be a preacher. I used to pray for the sick. I used to believe God for big things. I used to have this massive vision for my family. I used to. Oh, but then it got me in trouble. Some people hated me and I just kind of gave up. But there is a moment where there is a Pharaoh, a king, a person in leadership that says, I need that gift. Are we willing to step back into the actual designed gift for our life? Because what Pharaoh needed was another dreamer. Hey, come on, the world needs your gift. The world needs your gift. What is it? And I know there's some people in here that you might have given up on something. I want to restore the hope and the joy to your life right now. That there are pharaohs out there that don't know the Lord. in Townsville. They don't know, places in Townsville, they don't know the Lord. But they're waiting for you to have boldness again to say, I'm taking that gift back. I'm taking it. I'm receiving that gift. Why? Because I'm going to sink into that garment. Because the very thing that destroyed Joseph in immaturity was about to redeem him in maturity. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Are you ready? But Joseph first shaved himself, changed his clothes. We need to change our clothes. We're about to do a declutter. I'm about to Marie Kondo you all. It's time to get rid of those old garments. That's why it says put on a garment of praise. You know why? Because you're probably carrying an old garment that doesn't carry praise. Why do you say we have to be clothed in Christ? Because there was another identity that was inferior to us, clothing us. Be clothed in the best. And God gave us his best. But he changed his clothes and made himself presentable. Why did he change his clothes and make himself presentable? Because Hebrews loved big beards. They loved that. But Egyptians didn't. So I'm going to teach you something strategic for your even your leadership life. Is Joseph changed his clothes to build rapport. R-A-P-P-O-R-T. Really, all people prefer others reflecting themselves. I'll say that again. Really, all people prefer others reflecting themselves. Now, that's not compromise, by the way. He went, from this new season, I'm going to step into and clothe myself into my future, not my past. And there are miracles in your future. Put them on. Get ready. Change your clothes for 2024. See, the robe that then Joseph was given was one of royalty, power, and authority. It had sleeves. The Egyptians loved color. They wore good stuff. And he came from the prison, and now he was putting a robe on again that covered his hands and his feet. It was colorful and brought attention to his position in the nation, but this time he couldn't get thrown in a pit for it. I wonder what it felt like to be the prime minister of Egypt, clothed in something that was fitting for his calling. And seeing Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar come into court. Like he had the power to get rid of him. But you know what? When you're clothed in something new, you don't fight things that were old stories. Because your vision changed. You lifted up your eyes and you saw something new. He was now in charge of a whole nation. Why would he be carrying an offense around with these two? Because when you put on a new garment, something shifts in your expectation. Come on, in Townsville, if you're watching this, in your living room, wherever you might be, come on, let's shift our expectation with the garments that we're about to put on. But I've got something encouraging, and I'm going to land with this. Let's go to the next slide over. Go to the next one. In John 19, then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments. Garments, plural, garments. And made four parts to each soldier a part, ready? And also the tunic. So there was a garment, a purple garment that they put on Jesus to mock him as king from Pilate. That was the Roman garment that they put on him. And they tore that into four pieces. But there was also a tunic. Do you know what that word tunic is? It's the exact same tunic, a ketonet pasim. It covered Jesus' hands and his feet because he was the Father's firstborn. And he had to do nothing to earn the Father's favor. But they stripped him off that tunic. And they wouldn't cut it up like the other cheap one. But they gambled for it because it was worth something. If you read verse 24, it says, and they refused to tear it. But while Jesus is on the cross, he removed that garment for us. So when you hear or read the Apostle Paul saying you're now clothed in Christ, this is the garment that he's talking about. A garment. This is the divine exchange, if we go to that. That Jesus exposed his hands and his feet and exchanged his garment to cover our hands and feet. To say they don't deserve it, but I'm the firstborn and I'm giving them my garment to have favor with the Father. Our hands and our feet are now covered, and this is our new garment for 2024. As soon as you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, this was the garment that was put on you while Jesus exchanged himself with our position. So I want to encourage you today. Maybe that garment has got a bit lost in your wardrobe because we've cluttered it with everything else. But oh, there's a promise that Jesus said in Luke 24:49 that you'll be endued with the Holy Spirit, with the promise, and we'll sink into this garment that Jesus gave us that covers our hands and our feet. Why? Because we are favored by our Father through no works of our own, but to do an outwork who we are in his kingdom. And therefore, everywhere we walk becomes our inheritance. Would you stand up to your feet and let me pray for you this morning? If you're in Townsville, we're going to pray for you as well. I've been building this service in my heart and in the spirit. I even spoke to Pastor Clark this week and I asked him, how does that clothing just change you? And it's the constant remembrance. That's what he said. He said, always remember what it is to be clothed in that. And so today as we worship, here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to do something quite bold. If you're ready for your new wardrobe in 2024, because you've got a whole bunch of stuff that's kind of been moving with you year by year by year. Every now and then you do a clean out, but this is going to be one of those mass clean outs. Then there's going to be so much room in your wardrobe for what God has for you. Because there's a new garment that we can wear in 2024 where we expect more. And the things he's going to bring into your family, into your home, the things that are designed for you. So we're going to sing, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you say, Andrew, but it's not really to me, it's Jesus. I'm ready for my new ketonet pasim. I've worked too hard now. I've been in the field and I'm actually resentful. I carry stuff everywhere I go. I'm ready for 2024 to be the year of my new garment. Make your way to the front. And I'm going to personally pray for every single person here because I know there's a breakthrough for you this morning. Come on, let's sing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about IC Church, visit iccchurch.com.